Service
safe. Professor Buzzkill. Minions.
Hello, hello, Buzzkillers. It's your old friend, the Professor, here. You want to know something? I love the Russian revolutionary period from the early 20th century. It has everything. It's got an out-of-touch, strange royal family, fiery politicians of various stripes trying to reform things, oppressed people rising up, and a mad but highly influential monk thrown in the mix to make it more spicy and more unusual. That monk's name was Gregory Rasputin, and he wasn't even really a monk. That's the first myth we have to bust, Buzzkillers, but everybody called him that, and everyone still calls him that. Rasputin had trained to become a monk and a priest, but he'd failed. He was kicked out. So he became a wandering mystic and faith healer instead, and gained a relatively large following in the early years of the 20th century. He even became well-known in the highest social circles in St. Petersburg, including with the royal Romanov family. What happened was, Rasputin convinced Tsar Nicholas and Tsarina Alexandra in 1906 that he could heal their son Alexei's hemophilia. The Romanovs had tried all kinds of treatments for their son, and none had worked. And roughly at the same time, mysticism and faith healing were fashionable in upper-class circles in St. Petersburg. This was all going on in the decades leading up to World War I. Rasputin was able to make it appear that he was helping young Alexei's condition, and there was rampant speculation that he'd become an overly strong influence on the Tsarina and perhaps even the Tsar, even when it came to things like government policy. So believe you me, Buzzkillers, Russian politicians at the time did not like the idea of a crazy mystic having any kind of influence on the royal family in troubled times. And by 1916, there was a lot of talk about getting rid of Rasputin. Okay, here's what happened. In December of 1916, Prince Felix of the House of Yusupov, which is a Russian aristocratic family, cooked up a plan to kill the mad monk. Prince Yusupov got some of his pals together, and they invited Rasputin over for late-night drinks at the Moika Palace in St. Petersburg on the night of the 16th and 17th of December. According to accounts later given by Yusupov and his group, and according to the myth that persists to this day, they fed Rasputin cyanide-laced cakes. They plied him with colossal amounts of wine, all trying to poison him, trying to kill him. After an hour, it was obvious that the poison wasn't working, so they shot him in the chest at close range. The bullet went through Rasputin's stomach and liver and would have been fatal for almost anybody else. It would have been fatal for Rasputin if they'd left it long enough. But Rasputin was able to get up and stumble out of the palace, gravely wounded, in fact, mortally wounded. So what happened was then one of Yusupov's friends shot at him again, four times. Three of those shots missed, but the fourth one went through Rasputin's kidney and lodged in his spine. He then fell in the snow, and the conspirators dragged his body back inside. When the body sort of suddenly convulsed, Yusupov himself put a pistol to Rasputin's forehead and pulled the trigger, placing the fourth successful shot right in the mad monk's brain. Now, nearby policemen heard the shots. They came to investigate. So the conspirators wrapped Rasputin's body in broadcloth and dragged it outside, eventually dumping it through an ice hole in the Malyanevka River. According to the standard story and the standard myth, Rasputin was still not dead, and he tried to claw his way out from under the ice. Can you imagine trying to do that? Eventually, he drowned while trying to get out of the freezing river. Now, you know I like a dramatic story as much as the next professor. But, Buzzkillers, there's no evidence that Rasputin was some kind of super stud who could survive poisoning, shooting, beating, and being thrown in a frozen river. The story I just told you comes from Yusupov and his comrades, who spent the next few decades in relatively comfortable exile, bragging about how they'd killed the Chuck Norris-esque mad monk and tried to save the Russian people from his pernicious meddling. Yusupov himself especially dined out on the story for years and years and years in and around Paris. But, like anyone who's made stuff up, his story changed a great deal over the years, and even he eventually intimated to a few close friends that Rasputin's death was a good deal less dramatic than he had originally said. No one knows why the poison didn't kill Rasputin, Buzzkillers, but it's entirely possible that Yusupov and his crew either didn't spike the cakes correctly, or they screwed up the poisoning plot in some way or another. What's not in doubt is that the bullet shots were fatal. Either of the first two shots would have killed Rasputin in a relatively short time anyway. They damaged essential organs, and no human could have survived very long without immediate treatment. Rasputin's alleged convulsions after the second shot wouldn't have been all that unusual in a dying body, but even if he was still alive, the third shot, the bullet in the brain, certainly killed him. He was dead long before being dumped in the river. There was no water found in his lungs in the autopsy, so he didn't drown while trying to scramble out from under the ice. Now, Buzzkillers, other legends about Rasputin may be true. He may have indeed been well-equipped in the manhood department. He may have been a big hit with the ladies, and he was almost certainly a mesmerizing personality who was able to influence weak-minded people who were already disposed to believe in spiritualism. But he wasn't bulletproof. The Russian Revolutionary period is chock full of drama. Political drama, social drama, international intrigue. It had it all. What it didn't have was hocus-pocus and some sort of Chuck Norris religious figure. Stick to the facts, Buzzkillers, and leave the Mad Monk myths out of it. Talk to you next week.